The Money Doesn't Matter, an Irish comedy by Louis Dalton, adapted for radio by Dennis Hawthorne.
Hello. I think that's everything. God send them won't be let down or the breakfast will be spoiled on them.
Morning, Mrs. Kinchler. It's a grand morning.
I know nothing about the morning, the Knyerns. I wasn't out in it.
And now, as I walked across the garden, I said to myself, that's a grand summer's morning.
It'd be queer if it wasn't, and it's July.
The sun is splitting the trees. Splitting them.
The boss isn't paying the sun for splitting the trees. It's you who've been paid to do that. Way back to your timber yard and see how many sacks of sawdust will you put up between this and the Angelus.
Now, aren't you a very cravat old woman? Very cravat indeed.
I'm not an old woman.
But sure, no, you're not a young one. Sure you're not.
I am, then. I'm young for my age and I'm young in my ways.
Could be. The boss isn't around yet, I suppose. He hasn't come down yet.
He's neither up nor down. He's in bed.
Very well, so. Tell me this. Is that fire engine outside Mr. Harvey's?
What fire engine?
The big red racing car is standing out in the drive.
Oh, it's Mr. Harvey, sure enough. It was brought down from Dublin last night.
Oh, surprise. It's a murderous looking yoke. Murderous. It must have cost a nice penny, so it must. A nice penny.
Every penny of £1,500.
Boy, surprise. That's great work. Oh, a venomous construction, so it is. Venomous. And at £1,500. Dear. He'll break his da, so he will.
Something will be broke, that's sure. He's off to the Limerick races tomorrow to break a record. It's not the mercy of God he'll break his neck.
It's a great uprise for Tom Mannion's son. A great uprise.
He'll be out of a job if the boss hears you calling him Tom Mannion.
Tis little you know. Sure, I never call him anything else but Tom Mannion.
Is that so? Well, any time I've heard you addressing him, 'twas Mr. Mannion, and sir, you call him.
Why, yes. When people like yourself are around, I do have to keep up appearances. But Tom and me both came out of the two-room cottages of Tanyard Lane, remember? And mind you, I'm not saying that to make much of myself or little of him. I am not then. And don't you imagine it, me good woman.
I'm not your good woman.
No, indeed, thank God. But you're a good woman all the same.
Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Mr. Harvey.
Hello, Ken Irons. What are you doing here?
I was just passing, Mr. Harvey. That's an invincible-looking car you bought. You should be able to raise a dust at Limerick tomorrow that won't die down in a 12-month.
Good morning, Harvey. Good morning, Ellen. I'm starving. I'll eat you, Ellen, if you haven't got something good for me.
No need for that now. I have some lovely little troutines here for you. Pour yourself a cup of tea. I'll be preparing your father.
Well, now, Kenyons, what is it you want?
Well, it was to see the boss I came.
You're seeing him.
I wanted to see Mr. Mannion.
You're seeing Mr. Mannion. Well?
Well, I mean to say your father, you see, sir.
Look, understand this. When my father isn't here, I'm the boss.
Yes, sir. But I'd like to... I'd like to wait and see your father, if I could. It's a bit of personal business, and I'd like
to... Oh, come on, man, get out of here. And don't let me find you in this room at this hour of the morning again.
No, sir. Thank you, sir. Goodbye, Miss Nora.
Harvey, how can you be so brutal?
Oh, he's an arrogant old rogue, and he's impertinent.
I don't think he means to be. It's just he's been working so long for Father. Do you want some tea?
Yeah, please. Now, I tell you this. If he doesn't mend his ways, he won't be much longer working here.
Besides, he went to school with Father.
Well, he didn't go to school with me. Well, thanks. Besides, employees expect to be sat on. An occasional kick in the pants ensures their veneration. Oh, and by the way, if the old fella sees you going around in that dress, there'll be trouble.
What's wrong with the dress?
It's frowsy.
It isn't frowsy.
Well, it looks frowsy. I'm sure that's the same thing. Why have you got to go around in sackcloth and ashes most of the time? My God, you're a queer young woman. And your hair's like nothing on earth.
I'm afraid it isn't very good hair.
Well, why don't you try to do something with it?
I've tried everything, and I've tried it every way. But it always looks the same. Oh, well, I'm going to settle its hash very shortly. I'm going to have it shaved off.
That's a bit drastic. Is it a new fashion?
No, it's a very old fashion. I mean it, Harvey. I'm going to be a nun.
You're not joking, are you?
I wouldn't joke about a thing like that. I've been thinking about this for quite a while.
No one noticed anything.
Of course not. You can't notice people thinking. You and Father are always too busy in any case.
I mean, well, you've always been quite cheerful and normal. And
why shouldn't I? I've got something to be cheerful about.
No. What I mean is that there was never anything of the holy lily about you.
I didn't say I was going to be a holy lily. I said I was going to be a nun.
But what about Michael Harney? Now, wasn't he by way of paying a lot of attention to you at one time?
Oh, Harvey, he does that to every girl that he happens to be near. I'm told he has a rag on every bush, and I don't like men like that.
Well, sure, there's other sorts of men.
Yes.
Nora, I hope this isn't going to cause a repetition of the awful business there was about Francis. The father made a big effort to stop Francis going into the church. He may be the same about you.
He won't. I'm quite different. But Francis, being the eldest, Father wanted him to be a successor in the business and to be the same as you are now.
I don't think you understand the old fella very well. You know, the family, this family, well, it's been a great disappointment to him.
Why should it have been? None of us did anything very terrible.
Maybe not. But then none of us have done anything very outstanding. You see, that's what Father expects. Francis goes off to the foreign mission and dies at the age of 25 in some tropical swamp looking after insanitary natives. Then there's Philip.
What about Philip?
Well, Philip wanted to be a composer. So Father spent a fortune sending him to Milan and all round the continent. But how does he end up? Drunk in the streets more often than not. And lastly, there's Veronica.
Now, she couldn't help being in love with Jack Hogan.
I shouldn't have thought it would be an impossible feat to avoid that.
I can't see that Jack Hogan was such a bad sort.
He might have been the best sort in the world. But as far as his family and Father are concerned, he had one terrible disability. He came out of Creasy Street.
What of it? Father came out of Tanyard Lane.
We needn't keep reminding ourselves of that.
I think we ought to remind ourselves of it at stated intervals. It seems to me that Father ought to have approved of Jack Hogan.
Why?
He was doing what Father says we should all do, trying to rise in the world.
Well, the point is Jack hasn't risen in the world, and he won't with five children to support.
Harvey, perhaps I shouldn't say it, but isn't it just a little bit unreasonable for Father to expect us to become cardinals and composers and marry somebodies?
Ah, he said you didn't understand, Father. All he ever wanted of us was to outshine everybody else.
Good morning to you both.
No, good morning, Father.
Good morning, Father.
And a fine morning it is, too. Here, well.
You really shouldn't drink until you've had something to eat.
Nonsense. I've been doing this all my life. Sure, I couldn't look at food until I've had a drink. But you wait and see the breakfast I'll eat afterwards.
Morning, Mr. Mannion. I hope you slept well.
I did not, Ellen. Damn the wink. Only lying awake in the dark, plotting villainy all night. Wouldn't you know that by the looks of me?
Joking, yeah, sir. You look fine and fresh and hale and hearty.
Dying on my feet, Ellen. Well, have you anything good to eat there?
Yes, sir. Some grand, fat little troutines were sailing the river at 5 o'clock this morning.
Good girl. I'll keep you another week and stamp your insurance card for you. What's that you're wrestling with, Nora?
Some of Ellen's troutines, but they have more than the usual number of bones.
I'll take the bones out with your fingers, Miss Nora.
That's the very thing to do now. I was going to suggest that myself.
There's a very plebeian streak in this family somewhere.
I wonder where it comes from.
If you're not careful, I'll tell you.
You wouldn't dare.
I would. I'm a daredevil. I dare anything.
Well, go on, then. I defy you.
All right, then. You asked for it. It's...
Go on.
It's Tanyard Lane.
I never heard a bad joke go so well.
Now, don't be so smug, Harvey.
Well, I don't see why Tanyard Lane should have a monopoly of the humor. How is it we can't get a laugh out of Knock Derry House? I'm sorry if I said anything out of the way, Father.
That's all right, Harvey. But mind, you'd better bring the mortar and trophy back from Limerick if you don't we'll disown you, won't we, Ellen?
I'd be as well satisfied if he'd bring himself back, sir.
Oh, he'll do that all right.
Oh, I dread that motor racing thing for weeks before it comes off at all.
I don't know why everyone should imagine it so dangerous. You're far more likely to kill yourself driving down the main street of the town.
Yes, I'd be a great deal more easy in my mind if I knew you were driving down the main street of the town.
Ellen, if you get a telegram tomorrow, it will read, "You were right. Broke me neck at 4:30, signed Harvey Mannion."
God forbid, it's not right to be joking about such things.
Come on. Let's have another look at the car. I didn't get a proper chance last night. A breakfast can wait, Ellen. Come on, Nora. Far too good a day to be stuck indoors.
Aye, she's a grand car. She's a beauty, all right.
Do you think she's a winner?
Aye.
Canine said she looked invincible.
Well, she'd better be.
What good does all this motor racing do?
A lot of good. From Harvey's point of view, it's good socially. And from my point of view, it's great for business. People come from miles away to buy cars from us.
And my personal guarantee is worth 10% for the firm.
Mr. Mannion?
Yes?
Mr. Morpheus here to see you.
Morton, I wonder what he's after. All right, tell him to come out here.
What's this queer-looking thing just in front of the windscreen, Harvey?
That queer-looking thing is going to win me the trophy tomorrow. Come on, get in and I'll give you a spin and show you how the whole show works.
Go on, Nora. Do you good.
But I want to talk to you, Father. It's important.
Later, girl, later. Go on now. Get a bit of color in your cheeks.
All right. But you promise now we'll talk later.
Good morning, Pop. Morning. I say that's a powerful machine.
It is that. Well, now, Murta, what is it you want?
You say that as if you expected I'd come to borrow money.
Nothing would surprise me.
Maybe what I have to say will surprise you.
I doubt it. Now, come on over here into the shade.
Hey. What age are you now, Tom?
I'm a younger man than you by 15 years.
51, eh?
And you're 64. Take a seat.
You were always quick at the figures. Well, you've done well for yourself, Tom.
I'll do better yet.
I believe you will. You own half the town already. Against you get to my age, you should own the whole of it.
You couldn't tell. And don't forget, you had 20 years start on it.
Oh, I'm far from denying that I carry advantage. A carefree youth, a good education, and I come in for the best business in the town.
Well, I had a poverty-stricken youth. And I had no education, and I had no business. I hadn't even a trade.
Oh, I'm making no comparisons at all.
No. Well, you wouldn't compare yourself with someone from Tanyard Lane, would you?
Tom, no man has a greater respect for you than I have.
Well, I made people respect me. I made...
That's the way it is with you, Tom. I made. Everything is I made. I made people respect me. I made a hat full of money. I made myself what I am. You won't rest until you get the bishop to rewrite the catechism and admit that Tom Mannion made the world.
Well, isn't it true for me that I made people respect me?
It is not, and well you know it. You couldn't make me respect you.
Well, I could manage without your respect.
That's just the point. You couldn't. What you worked for all these years is the respect and admiration of others. There's a terrible pride in you. And while you couldn't win respect, you wanted to extort it against the grave.
Now listen, I made my own way. I asked nothing from anyone. I could buy the rotten snobs of this town 10 times over. A bankrupt crew living on the work their fathers did before them.
God knows why you want them to acknowledge you as an equal. You ought to think yourself above them.
So I do. And that's what angers me. To think that they can look down their noses at me because of Tanyard Lane. But I have the money, and I'll break them yet.
You have a great faith in money.
I have. Money can do anything. Because I had money, I was able to marry Andrew Harvey's daughter.
You thought when you did that, they'd have to acknowledge you. But they didn't, you see.
No. It wasn't an upraise for Tom Mannion. It was a come-down in the world for Tom Mannion's wife. But if I came out of Tanyard Lane, my children came out of Knockderry House. They're as well educated as the best of them. And they have the handling of money the others can't hope to equal.
Oh, I dare say you could buy us all out, one by one.
I'll buy anything that comes on the market.
I suppose, then, you wouldn't object to making a start with my place.
I'd ask nothing better.
Well, here's your chance to do it. I'm selling out.
Selling?
Everything. That's what's brought me here. There's six fine modern houses at
yes,
the corner
yes,
of the...
Yes, I know every stick that you own. But why aren't you putting them up for auction?
I am, this day month. But you could make a private deal with Haggerty the solicitor and take the lot.
Why did you come here to tell me this?
Knowing how mad you are for property, I thought that maybe I'd get a better price for the lot out of you than selling them piecemeal on the open market.
I'll go up to 2,000 above the reserve, whatever it is.
I'll tell Haggerty to sell it that.
So you're selling out?
I'm getting on. I've had two serious illnesses in the past 2 years. What use is it in carrying on a business that's a burden to me?
Aye, and you've neither chick nor child to leave it to.
No, you bit me there as well.
I just don't know how you can do it.
I never enjoyed being in business. It was made when I got it, and all I did was to keep it going.
But will you not feel a great wrench breaking with it?
Oh, I'll feel a great relief. I can't live more than 10 or 15 years. With complete freedom and every comfort, I might run it up to 20. At that, I'll still have money to leave. I'll be on my way now.
Well, I'll see you down the drive. I tell you this, I'll give you 6 months and then you'll be breaking your back to get into the business again.
You see everything through a web of gold, Tom. The more firmly you're imprisoned in the web, the better you like it.
Well, isn't that better than hating it the way you say you've done all your life?
I never took much pleasure in the making of money.
Good man, making money is the only thing I know how to do. And I'll always want to go on making it.
Aye, that's what people don't understand about money makers. They do it because it's the only thing they know how to do.
There's satisfaction in doing what you know how to do for its own sake. I tell you what, Martin. For days after making a good deal, I have a feeling of happiness that I couldn't describe to you.
Good day to you both.
Oh, Father Marr, is that you? Good day to you.
Two pillars of commerce and the one net.
I'm just on my way, Father.
No, don't be running off just because I've arrived, Martha. But I didn't expect to see you twice in the one morning.
Oh, no, I'll be off. Mannion here will be delighted to talk to you. I suppose it's on the same business you come to see him.
It is him. But hold on yourself till I get another crack.
No, not a chance of it, Father. Twice in the same day would be too much of a good thing. Here's your next victim, and don't spare him, is my advice to you.
What's all this about?
Oh, you'll know soon enough. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
I'll tell Haggerty you'll be calling.
Come on up to the house with me, Father. I've had no breakfast yet, and I'm beginning to feel the stirrings of an appetite.
A healthy sign.
Is there something you want, Father?
There is so. A leaf out of your checkbook. I want a subscription from you, Mannion.
A subscription? A subscription for what?
For the new schools.
Why, what's wrong with the old schools?
They're a disgrace to the nation.
Well, I'll wager they're no worse than them when I went to them. And they did me no harm.
They may not have done you much good either. The old schools are unhygienic and unsafe. They've been condemned.
Not by me.
You went to them. You should be among the first to condemn them. Would you like your children to go to them?
I took damn good care they didn't have to. And this is what you wanted to see me about, eh?
Yes, Father. I've been wanting to talk to you for some time.
Well, it's nonsense, Gertie. Nonsense. You can't be a nun.
I can try, Father. If they won't have me...
Of course they won't have you. I'll see to that. I can't have any nuns in my family. I haven't worked all my life to give you the benefit and then see you throw it away.
But the richest and greatest ladies become nuns.
I don't say they don't. And if I was thinking of letting you do it, I'd see you were put into one of the big orders, where you would be mixing with ladies and be looked up to. But I'm not. Now, what you're going to do, girl, is to make a good match and be somebody.
But I'd still be somebody if I was a nun.
You would not. You'd be one of a community and no more and no less than the one next to you. You'd wear the same clothes and look the same. You'd be under the one discipline and eat at the same table as everyone else. You'd rise at the same time as everyone else. You couldn't be your own master. You couldn't own as much as a pin. By God, I'm not sure that it isn't a kind of Bolshevism. Anyway, I thought you and Michael Harney were going to make a match of it.
Michael Harney?
Aye, and what's wrong with Michael Harney? Weren't you by way of being very fond of him at one time? And he belongs to one of the best families in the town.
God help the town.
Well, if you don't like Michael Harney, you can marry anyone else you like, provided he comes from a decent background. Make up your mind who it is you want, and I'll see you provided for.
But don't annoy me with all this talk about being a nun.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Well, what do you want, Harvey?
Well, I thought you might like to come for a drive in the car.
I would not. I'm too busy to be bothered now. And you, Nora, I'm too busy to be bothered with your nonsense.
But, Father, we really haven't talked about it.
All right, all right. We will have a long talk about it in a day or so. That's a promise.
Thanks, Father.
Has she been telling you she wants to be a nun?
Have you heard about it, too?
I had it for breakfast before you came down.
Do you think it's serious?
Well, from what she said, I believe she meant it.
Well, that's odd. I thought she seemed particularly happy this while back. Not moving around the place or that. I didn't see Michael Harney around here lately.
If you look out of the window, you'll see him now. He came over to have a look at the car.
Did he now? Well, I'd like to have a word with him. Yes, I'd like a word with him now. Send him in to me, will you?
All right, Father.
Your father's in now, I think, Mr. Harvey.
No, he is, but he's busy.
Yes, well, I just try me luck. Mr. Mannion, sir, excuse me.
Well, what is it? What brings you over here? Is there something wrong with the yard?
Oh, no, sir, no. It's more of a personal matter.
Yes?
Sir, I was thinking that times, well, maybe that times, being what they are, that is, times being hard, sir.
There's nothing wrong with the times. They were never better.
Oh, well, no, I'm glad. Very glad. The people do be complaining that the times do be hard. Very hard.
And they like complaining. It's easier than exerting themselves.
Aye, that's right, sir.
Do you want a drink?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. your health, sir.
Oh. Are you looking for an increase?
Well, sir...
You can't keep on getting increases. You got one last year.
I did not indeed, sir. Not just 3 years since I got one.
3 years?
Yes, three, maybe four.
Well, I could get a strong young workman for what I'm paying you.
Which you might, you might.
There's no might about it. I would.
You would. I suppose you would, all right. But the one thing is, you wouldn't get someone who'd be interested.
Interested in what? Looking for increases.
Good morning, Mr. Mannion. I hear that you're looking for me.
Yes, Michael. I was. All I can earn, that's all. I think about it.
Thank you, Mr. Mannion, sir. Good morning, Mr. Harney.
That's a fine bit of a car of Harvey's. But damn it, you know, I was saying to him, you could buy a string of racehorses for the price of it, nearly. He asked me to go for a spin, but he's not intending to wait for me, I think. There he's away now.
Sit down, Michael, sit down. Now, tell me this. Have you ever thought of getting married?
Huh? Oh, aye, yes. I'm time enough yet, though.
Hey, what are you waiting for?
Well, I don't know, really.
I suppose you know that daughter of mine is fond of you.
But Nora, is it?
Oh, yes, she's fond of you.
Is that right? So they're all fond of me, the girls are. Damn it, you know, I do often be surprised.
Why not make up your mind to marry Nora?
Eh?
I said, why not marry Nora?
That's right. Only, well, I never thought about it.
Think about it now.
But that's what I'm doing. I don't know. Would she have...
Oh, there's no one she likes better, I'd say. You're not engaged yourself, are you?
Well, no, I am not, then.
Well, what do you say, then?
Well, Thomas, it's very sudden, kind of, do you know? I like Nora very well, but liking and marrying are two different things. Not that I wouldn't like her well enough to marry her, do you know? Only I wasn't in a hurry, do you know?
The time to marry is when you have the opportunity to make a good match. This is your chance.
Damn it, isn't it queer the way you can get used to an idea so quick? I hadn't a notion of getting married and I coming into this room, and now, damn it, you know, I'm strong for it. Strong. I was thinking 10 years up would be time enough, and now I'm near leaping to put the bands up.
She'll bring you £7,000. You can see your father if he's agreeable. I'll get my solicitor to fix it up.
£7,000, you said?
Is that not enough?
Well, it's generous. Damn it, you know, it's damn generous.
But you must see your father at once.
I will. Oh, he'd be agreeable to that, I'd say. That's a fair settlement.
Well, I'd like you to see Nora as soon as possible. I'd like this thing settled.
Is that so?
Oh, it may take you a bit of time to come round, Nora. She has notions of being a nun.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. You may have to do a share of cooks.
Oh, leave that to me. I'm well used to that end of the business. I dare say you could spring another 1,000 if I could get her consent right away.
Very well, if you can manage that, 8,000.
You can tell your solicitor to draw up the settlement right away. I'll be back as soon as I've seen the old fella.
Ellen, come here, will you? I have a job for you.
What's that, Sheriff?
Is Canaan's about, do you know?
Oh, dear, I'm sure he is, Sheriff, around about the garden.
Well, tell him to take this note to Hegarty, the solicitor. He's to ask Mr. Hegarty to call here at once about the purchase of Murtaugh's and to draw up a marriage settlement.
A marriage settlement,
the very thing, Ellen. There's a bit of news for you now. It'll give the people in this town something to talk about.
Who's getting married to whom, sir?
That's a bit of news you'll have to wait.
Yeah, sir.
Right, off with you now.
Mr. Mannion, sir.
Oh, there you are, Connors, the very man. I was just about to send for you.
Mr. Mannion, I must say...
All right, you have it without the asking. I'll tell Hanlon to put another 10 bob in your pocket.
Tom! It's not that. It's Mr. Harvey.
What?
Mr. Harvey. It's Joe Gargan's young one. Trying to avoid her, he was, and struck the corner of the bridge. Traveling very fast, he was.
Joe Gargan's young one, from the tanyard.
From the tanyard, sir. Mr. Harvey's dead.
Yes, indeed. Oh. Ah, there you are, Nora. Miserable sort of day and that. Fearful business and that. Fearful. Terrible sort of hangover you get after a funeral.
Yes, I suppose so.
Yes. Oh, yes, terrible. You know, I always thought that Harvey would continue to be one of the pillars of society long after I'd drunk myself to death.
I'd be glad if you weren't flippant just now, Philip.
Oh, sorry, no intention of being flippant, I assure you. Well, I liked old Harvey. Of course, he helped to get me kicked out, but I've forgiven him.
You were his brother.
I'm sure he forgave me that. Hard on us both, naturally. Of course, we can't choose our relatives. No, pity. Look here, if I take a drink, you won't tell Father, will you?
No, if you stop at that.
No, promise. Thanks. Of course, I've given it up, you know. I'm only taking this because of the emotional circumstances and feeling a bit overwrought and that. Oh, yes. I haven't touched it for ages. Peculiar thing, the way one's emotions become governed by drink. You probably think I'm a bit callous about poor old Harvey. Nothing of the kind, though. It's just that at the present I'm in the parched and arid stage. No vivacity. A few more, though, and I should be quite merry.
I do hope you won't get drunk and fall down in public as you did the last time you were
home. Ah, yes, well, that was the time. Look at the amount of practice I've had since then. Oh, I never fall down now. Oh, never drink, of course. I found that when you reach a certain stage of intoxication, you can begin studiously to drink yourself into a state of sobriety. It's all a matter of watching when you reach the stage.
Philip, I'm not really interested in the technique of drunkenness.
No. No, I suppose not. Still, it's very interesting.
When do you expect to be going away again?
I have no intention of deserting the family in this emergency. I am here to help.
You seem to be here to drink.
Not primarily. After all, I can drink anywhere. But I must admit that this house provides good facilities. Much better than where I was last.
Where were you last?
My dear. You would be surprised. Indeed, I may say horrified. Well, de desperandum. By the way, I didn't see Veronica today.
I don't think she's out of bed yet.
She'd better not wear out her welcome. Of course, I've no doubt that it was worn out before she arrived. But then I suppose I'm in the same boat as far as that's concerned. We shall just have to wait our expulsion with fortitude. Hail and farewell, sort of thing. The old fellow looks badly shaken, doesn't he? However, that bit of an indoor butter that he went on in the last few days won't do him any harm. Quite the contrary. But he was steady enough this morning. Of course, the great thing is to know when to stop.
Are you quite sure you've given up the drink, Philip?
Oh, quite. Had to, you know. No option. Every mouthful I took was killing me. Simply killing me by inches. Short ones, you know. Nips. In fact, I used to call them inches. Give me another couple of inches, I say. Used to make the bar fellows roar. No joke, really, of course. Actually, very serious. Callous sort of fellows, barmen.
Philip, that's the fourth you've had.
Never. Good God. Well, that's another thing about drink. It affects your memory. Oh, yes. 5 minutes after I've taken a drink, I couldn't remember it. And then I'd take another and forget that and so on. Vicious circle the whole time. Health, memory, everything else. But, well, here's the last today.
I hope it is.
Oh, yes. Solemn promise.
One of the reasons I sent for you, Philip, is that I thought you might be able to help Father. You see, I shall be going away.
How do you mean, going away?
I'm going to be a nun.
Good God. Well, you can't mean it.
Of course I mean it.
Good Lord. I shouldn't advise it. Actually, I shouldn't advise it. Now, my advice is not to allow yourself to rush into things, into anything. Think things over beforehand.
You seem surprised, Philip.
Mr. Hegarty's solicitor is on the phone and is wanting to speak to Mr. Mannion. Would you speak to him, please?
Certainly, Ellen.
Ellen, just a minute.
Yes, sir?
Do you know that you're looking much better than when I saw you last? Yes, much improved indeed.
Would you think that, sir?
Oh, yes, definitely, and definitely.
A lot says I'm failing, but you'd notice.
Oh, no, you're not failing. Oh, no, indeed, definitely improving. Ellen, I want you to lend me 10 shillings for about 10 minutes.
Well, I don't know now that I should.
Just for 10 minutes, that's all. Oh, yes. Yes. A note if you have it. Oh, thanks. Thanks so much, Shire. I shall be no time gone. I'm just going for a nip. To nip down to the post office. Have to meet a chap there. Very important it is.
Miss Nora.
Yes, Ellen, what is it?
Mr. Michael Harney to see you, miss.
To see me?
Yes, miss. Important, he said it was.
All right, then. Show him in.
You have to go on in, Mr. Harney.
Good morning, Nora.
Hello, Michael. Come in.
I just thought I'd call in to tell you how sorry I was about Harvey. We were great friends, you know.
I didn't know that, Michael.
Oh, aye, we were that. Though it's a great pity he didn't go in for horses. Still, you could get a bad fall from a horse, too.
Yes, I suppose so.
Oh, aye. I put my shoulder out March 12th month, and it's not right yet.
Isn't it?
No, and it's my belief it'll never be.
Oh.
The black suits you very well.
What's that?
The black. That's the dress you're wearing. You should always wear black.
Yes, I shall be doing so in the future.
Well, because of being in mourning?
No, not altogether.
Aye. Well, it suits you very well. You look topping in it. Better than I ever saw you look. Excepting you're looking a bit pale. Shocking bad weather, isn't it?
Yes, very bad.
Oh, damn it, you know, it's awful. The rain is that wet. I'm breaking in a young filly and I can get no further with it. It's like a bog the fields are, the weather, you know.
I know.
I like the way you have your hair done down the middle.
Down the middle?
Aye. Parted. Tell us, do you know that song, Parted?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's a grand thing. Dearest, our day is over. Ended the long, long day. Do you not know it?
Dearest, our day is over. Ended the long, long day. Ah, sure, you must know it.
No, I don't.
Damn it, sure. I thought everyone knew that. Still, I shouldn't be singing in this house, should I?
No.
I was forgetting myself. It's a very nice song, but it's sad, you know. You see, there's these two, and they're parted. You must go back to your life, and I must go back to mine. Now, those are the words of the song. They're separated. It's very sad. Wouldn't you feel awful being separated from somebody? Somebody you're fond of, I mean. I'm terrible fond of you, Nora.
Of me?
Aye. You didn't know that. Well, it's a fact. Damn it, you know, I'm wild about you. Aye, wild daft.
You're joking.
I'm in deadly earnest.
But you can't be. It's ridiculous. Whatever put this idea into your head?
Oh, I don't need anyone to put ideas into my head. I'm well able to do that for myself. Now, wouldn't we be a good match for one another?
I'm going to be a nun, Michael.
Aye, I know that, but...
How did you know?
Well, I heard it.
Where did you hear it?
You know the way a thing goes round. And it was hearing that spurred me on, like. I didn't like the idea of you being a nun and wasting yourself, like.
But I wouldn't be wasting myself.
Well, I mean, in a way.
You better forget all about this, about being fond of me.
But I'm in dead earnest about this.
So am I, in dead earnest.
Not even with me asking you to marry me.
Not even then, Michael.
I can't imagine it. Damn it, you know, I thought girls only went in for being nuns when they found there wasn't a husband to be got.
That seems to be a very widespread misapprehension.
You know, I wouldn't go rushing in to be a nun if I was you. I'd give it a second thought. After all, you can be a nun any time, but it's not every day you have a chance of marrying.
There's a lot of comfort in that thought, Michael.
Now, I think you'll change your mind.
No, I won't do that.
You won't?
No.
Damn it, you know, this is a terrible setback to me, a terrible setback.
I'm very sorry, Michael.
And it's a big loss to me, too.
Why, you only think that. It shan't be a loss to you.
Well, I don't know about that. The money will be a big loss to me.
What money?
Well, your father was being very generous about it. He was for making us a very good settlement.
I understand.
So you see, it's a very big loss to me.
It can't be helped, Michael.
Probably mean I'll have to cut down and sell the 3-year-old. And I was going to call her after you, too.
You can still do that. I won't mind.
And your father won't be a bit pleased either, I'd say. And my old fella will go mad. He was very pleased over it. It's a big responsibility on you.
Responsibility?
Well, it's upsetting a lot of plans. After all, you have to consider more than yourself in this world. You can't be too selfish. I'm thinking of my old chap and your father and you as well. And you're only thinking of yourself. Now, that's very selfish. I don't think you were cut out to be a nun at all. Now, take care now. You're not making a great mistake in thinking of being a nun. My opinion is that you're far too selfish to be a nun.
You're wrong there, Michael. I'm far too selfish not to be a nun.
Look, I tell you what. I'll give you a couple of days to think it over. Now, there's no hurry. My opinion is that you'll change your mind.
No, Michael, I won't change my mind.
No, I won't give up. I won't take no for an answer. I'm determined. And you'll think it over, won't you?
I probably shall.
Nora, I do hope I'm not intruding. Oh, you're Michael Harney, aren't you?
This is my sister Veronica, Michael, Mrs. Hogan.
Sure, I remember you. So don't I know you from the time you were no bigger than myself?
Yes, indeed. What a good memory you have.
Well, I'll be off with myself. Excuse me now.
I hope I didn't frighten him away. But he seems as stupid as ever.
He's quite a good sort, really.
Yes, I suppose so. Kind to animals and that sort of thing. Oh, it seems so strange to be back home again. I'm glad that you sent for me, Nora. Now that I'm back, I wonder I'd ever the heart to leave here. Not that I ever wanted to.
You don't regret having married Jack, do you?
Oh, no. But, of course, I do regret that dear Jack is so very unfortunate and being so often out of work. It's so awful having to scrape and manage all the time. Oh, I can scrape all right, but I never seem to be able to manage. It'd be so wonderful if only Father would give Jack a chance. And now that poor Harvey's gone...
Oh, hello. You're still here.
Well, why shouldn't I still be here?
I suppose you're all packed and ready to leave?
Are you packed?
Me? No, I've nothing to pack. Anyway, I'm not in a hurry and you are.
You seen Father this morning, Nora?
And what do you want to see Father for? My advice to you is not to bother Father.
I shall please myself about that. How very pale you look, Nora. It's really dreadful the way a death can upset things. I really don't know what I'm doing here still, and yet I can't go away and leave everything so upset, and I really ought to.
Why don't you?
I got another telegram this morning from Jack. Oh, he's so helpless without me. But of course all men are like that, aren't they?
There's nothing to keep you now, and if Jack needs you badly...
No, I can't go. It'd be cruel to go and leave you all here in this terrible state. So upset and everything.
But I'm not upset. Well, not too upset. I have a good deal of fortitude, I may say.
You were always able to endure other people's troubles with fortitude. It's Father I'm worried about. Of course, when you're gone...
When you're gone?
Well, you're going too.
Not if I can help it.
But Father probably won't need you.
He certainly won't need you.
Nor you. He has Nora.
Nora is leaving to become a nun.
Please don't say you think I'm insane.
Insane? Oh, I think you're splendid. I'm sure, only for dear Jack, that I'd have become a nun, too. Well, of course, I shall have to stay now.
And what about poor Jack is so helpless without you?
Poor Jack, yes. Well, I could wire him a fare to come over, couldn't I?
I suppose you couldn't lend me a pound for about 10 minutes, could you?
No, I haven't a penny.
Then how could you wire money to Jack?
Well, I thought perhaps Nora would lend it to me, would you, Nora?
I haven't any money, Veronica. I never have. I don't bother to ask Father for money. I get them to send him a bill for any little thing I buy.
Jack could be such a help to Father. He's so good at things. He could take the whole weight of business from Father.
He needn't bother. I shall be helping Father in the future.
You just want to stay here and loaf and get into Father's good graces. Perhaps you think you'll come in for all his money.
I happen to be the eldest, next of kin and so forth.
Please, you shouldn't go on like this. Aren't you ashamed, both of you?
Well, he's insulted me, belied me. I never think of myself, always of others. But you'll not get rid of me as easily as you think. I'll stay here, I'll...
Are you two still here? Why haven't you come back to London?
Father, dear, I won't leave you. My place is here with you.
Your place is in London. You'd better get the evening train.
Certainly so.
And you can take the same train.
Oh, I hadn't thought of leaving just yet, Father. As a matter of fact, I could be a very great help to you.
You could, if I intended to drink myself to death. Nora can do any looking after me that's needed.
She's leaving you, Father. Deserting you heartlessly to be a nun.
You're not still at that nonsense, are you, Nora?
But I'll see to it that you're not left deserted. Father, I'll stay. I'll work my fingers to the bone.
Oh, be quiet. Nora,
I'm sorry, Father, but I must go now.
Of course, if Nora's really determined, Father...
I don't need your advice. We'll talk about this later, Nora. And as for you, Veronica... You'll get your train in 2 hours, and so will you.
I'm not really in a hurry, Father.
No, but I am. I'm allowing you so much a week to keep out of this town. If you're not out of here this evening, you'll forfeit your allowance.
Oh, it's cruel, cruel. Dear Jack is patiently waiting for a chance. If you were a proper father...
I fathered enough fools without being saddled with another.
We are to blame, of course. You're not. You wanted to raise a family of snobs to spit in everybody's faces. And when it didn't work out that way, you were disappointed.
Veronica, don't.
It's no wonder that Mother hated you and that none of us would stay with you.
I'm ready to stay.
For all your money and your arrogance, you'll die without one of your own flesh and blood to give you a drink of water.
Veronica, please.
I don't care. I don't care. It's true.
Now, that's enough now. That's enough. I won't have Father insulted. How dare you make a scene?
I'll never come back. I'll never come back. Never.
That's enough, I say.
God, what a pair. I thought you'd given up this idea, Nora.
I didn't say I had, Father.
No, but things have changed now.
I haven't changed, Father.
Then it's time for you to change. I need you.
God needs me.
Ah, I don't think I understand that kind of talk. It doesn't mean a thing. And how do you know God needs you? It's conceit that's wrong with you. To hear you talk, you think that God was a personal friend of yours.
I've always hoped he was. What difference can it make to you if I go?
You're not going, and that's the holy all of it. Nora, do you hear me now?
Ellen. Ellen. I'm sorry to disturb you, but I wonder if... But no, of course,
You couldn't, could you?
Your pardon, ma'am?
Well, I was going to ask Oh, really, this is most degrading.
Humiliating, positively. Only that, well, you are almost a member of the family.
Is it me, ma'am?
But even so, it's dreadful to have to ask you. I could, of course, wait until Father came back if it wasn't so urgent.
What is it, ma'am?
£3.10.
£3.10? The moment that Father comes in, I shall return it to you. I must write to London immediately, to my husband. A bill I overlooked. I'm so stupid about bills and money. Can you let me have notes? Oh, it doesn't really matter. I'm dreadful with money. I always think of the old proverb, a fool and his money are... Oh, in the tea caddy, how quaint. Thank you, Ellen. I hope now I'm doing the right thing. Your father warned me about lending money to Mr. Philip. I was sure he said nothing at all about lending it to you.
No, indeed. Of course, Philip is very unscrupulous. Now, Ellen, I want you to leave this into the post office at once.
Well, I don't know that I'd be able to, ma'am. I've the lunch to get ready. But sure, I could send someone else.
No, that won't do. You see, this money has to be telegraphed.
Well, sure, Canirons can do that, ma'am. He's just out the back there. It'll be quite safe, then he'll have to bring back a receipt.
Very well. But you mustn't tell him who sent it.
But, sure, won't he be able to read it?
He'd never be so dishonest.
Well, no, ma'am, it'll have to be read at the post office. And there's nothing to choose between them and Canirons, because everyone will have it in the long run.
All right. Well, tell him to hand it in at the post office. There'll be a shilling change. He's to keep that.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I feel very upset, Ellen. I think I'll go and lie down. If Father asks where I am, tell him that... Well, tell him you don't know. Tell him I've gone out.
Hey, you. Come over here. You're to take a message to the post office.
Is that right? And, who said I'm to do that?
I'm saying it.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I don't know that I can. I'm ferocious busy. I'm afraid that I can't oblige you.
It's not me you're obliging at all.
Running messages is no part of my engagement. Is it for the boss? No, if it's for Tom Mannion, that's a different thing. And I'll oblige you.
Look, I'm not going on my knees to you, and you needn't think it. If you won't do it, that's all right.
Well, I didn't say I wouldn't. I didn't refuse you. If it's for yourself...
It's not for myself.
It's not for yourself. And it's not for Tom Mannion. It's for Mr. Philip, then, the choir fella. Mind you, I don't like the choir fella.
Will you take it or will you not?
Well, I will. I suppose I will.
Here.
Sure I might as well. It'll be a stretch for me.
There's a shilling change which you're to hand back to me.
Is that right? I'm to hand it back to you. Did you... He say I was to do that.
Did who say?
The queer fella. Mr. Philip.
Ah, here. Give it back to me this instant.
All right. I'm going. Only I'd like to know what I'm about and what's expected of me. I don't like doing things in the dark.
You wouldn't know how, my yap. I wouldn't like to trust you.
Well, you might then. You might. I'd oblige anyone sooner than the queer fella. But if it's a case of refusing, oh, well, now, that's another story altogether.
Well, now, Mannion, what do you want that you sent for me in such a hurry?
Well, I've a favor to ask you, Father.
Well, you're not so ready granting favors yourself, betimes.
Maybe I took you a bit short over the subscription for the schools. Here. I think this will fix it.
This check is for a great deal of money.
Oh, if more is needed, you'll find I won't stint you.
But a hat of money like this?
It's only the money you needed for the new schools. £250.
You'd better have it back.
Why so? Isn't my money all right?
Well, I've nothing against it, but you're behind the times. The whole amount was subscribed the day after I saw you.
Well, there'll be subscriptions needed for other purposes.
What other purposes?
What does it matter, Father? Aren't there always subscriptions wanting?
I'm asking you, what purpose do you want this money put to?
Any purpose you wish.
Any charitable purpose?
Any purpose.
That means into my own pocket if I wish.
You'll find I won't ask for any account of what you've done with it.
This is meant to be a bribe of some kind.
Well, say that I'm feeling charitable.
I don't like this, Mannion. And I'll make no promise to grant your favor. What is it?
Well, my son Harvey's death was a great blow to me, Father.
Yes.
There's left to me now only one child that I care about.
Yes.
She has a notion to leave me to become a nun.
I see.
Well, it's not my wish for her. And I'll do all in my power to prevent it.
What is it you want me to do?
I want you to persuade her away from it. Tell her it's her right and duty to stay by me at a time like this.
Very well, I can do that. But first of all, I'm going to point out to you your right and duty in the matter. Are you quite sure that you'll be right in stopping her? That is, supposing that you can stop her.
She's the last of my children that I care about.
Could you not care enough about her to let her have her way?
Oh, it's her happiness as much as my own, I'm thinking
of. Well, maybe she's the best judge of what's best for her own happiness. You persist in seeing things from your own point of view, Mannion. However, I'll speak to Nora and see what I can do. I can't go beyond my duty, and I make no promise that I'll succeed.
I'll be well satisfied to have you speak to her, Father. She's in the city.
All right. I know my way around this house. I'll find her.
You didn't call by accident, did you, Father?
No. Your father gave me a ring. Said you have something on your mind that I'd be interested in talking over with you.
Yes. Well, you see, Father, I have a problem.
You wouldn't be human if you hadn't. And what's troubling you?
I want to be a nun, Father.
I see. Well, I suppose then that in 6 months or a year I'll see you starting off in your novitiate.
I must go now, Father.
Well, now weren't you in a great haste about it?
No. I'm a whole year thinking about it. But I made up my mind a week ago. I'm sure that I have a vocation.
You may not have chosen the best time to go about it, I'm afraid. I think I must advise you not to be in any great haste about this. You're young and your life is before you. You'll not miss a few months out of it. Your father's in need of you now. It's not the same as if your brother Harvey was still living. And to lose the two of you in such a short time would come very hard on him.
In 6 months' time or even a year, it would be just as hard.
I don't think so. He'll have had time to adjust himself and then, indeed, your own viewpoint might have changed.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Why should you be afraid of it?
Because I know now, at this moment, that it is the most important thing of all. I know it. And if I wait, I may not be so sure in another year. A doubt of myself that I haven't now. I'd be afraid of that, Father.
You're a foolish child. Do you think that God has such a short memory that he'd forget calling you in a year if he needed you?
I might not hear it so plainly as I do now, because of closing it out from me for so long. I might think of it the same as any other thing you'll grow used to.
There's no fear of that. He'd call you in such kind you could never mistake it.
He has done, Father Maher.
No, it's often very difficult.
He'd never call me so clearly again. He'd never call me so clearly now if it wasn't to be now.
Your father will take this very hard. You see, in some way, the great plans he had for you are part of his own content and happiness. Indeed, now that Harvey's gone, they're all of it.
But, Father, I don't think it's happiness that I'm interested in.
What are you interested in, then?
I think it's holiness, Father.
Well, you're a good child. I'll say that for you. But you must understand, we can't all be saints, even if we wanted to. At one end of the scales, you have the saint, and at the other end, the scoundrel. And in between, you have the vast majority of people that make up the world and keep the scales from tipping, for they're in mortal dread of them both.
But they'd choose the saints for preference if they had to.
Maybe. But saints aren't easy people to live with. And half the time where they're in the world, they're mistaken for heretics. Your father's a good man, but for holiness he has no understanding at all.
Father, I'll obey you in whatever you'll tell me to do, if you'll answer me one question.
Well, what is it?
Since you won't tell me I'd be right to do it, will you tell me that I'd be wrong to do it? Tell me that I'm wrong, Father, and I won't do it.
No. No, I can't do that either.
Then if I'm not wrong, I'll do it.
Knowing it'll hurt him.
Oh, Father, don't you see? It's only by leaving him that I can help him at all. It's only in my prayers that I can ever help him in any way.
Well, I suppose there's nothing more I can say or do.
I don't think so, Father. And thank you for your advice.
It's a case of thank you for nothing, I'm afraid. What will I say to your father?
That you did your best and left nothing unsaid?
Well, that'll be true. Mind you, I think you'll find that he has by no means done his best to stop you yet. Let's talk a little longer before I go to see him.
Mr. Phillips, sir. Mr. Phillip.
Yes, Kinnarens, what is it?
It's this telegram, sir.
What telegram?
The one you're sending.
Sending? I wasn't sending any telegram.
Sure, it must be your telegram, sir. Isn't your name on it?
My name? Signed to it? Show me. Where did you get this money?
Sure, wasn't that to be sent with the telegram?
Give it to me. Now, where did you get this telegram?
That's how Lellin give it to me. You're to give it to the post office, she said. But sure, the post office wouldn't take it. There's a shilling change, you see. But faith, there's a shilling short instead of too much.
Well, you can leave it with me.
You don't want me to send it?
No, I've changed my mind about it. I won't send it at all now.
It's your name is signed to it anyway. Yes, indeed. I'm sorry about Mrs. Hogan, sir, and her being seriously ill.
Have you been reading this, Warr?
No, indeed, sir. The postmistress read it out to me. Come at once, Veronica seriously ill. Signed, Philip, and addressed to Mr. Hogan. And sure, you're Mr. Philip.
All right, you can go.
And sure, I was all the time demanding a shilling change, and I a shilling short the whole time. I intended bringing you the change, sir. That old Ellen said she was to get it. But sure, why should she get it, I said to myself. It's not as if she was coursing down to the post office and back. No, then.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir. But I hope now that you don't think I was putting in for it. It was only that Ellen, you know.
She should ask about this telegram. You may refer her to me.
I will, sir. I will indeed. Well, she'll be making tender inquiries about the bob change. You may be sure of that. But thank you, sir. Thank you indeed.
I did everything that I could, ma'am. But I must tell you that her mind is made up. She's determined and won't be shaken.
Well, I'm just as determined and I won't be shaken.
Would it not be better to let her have her way in this? Are you not a little selfish?
Selfish? Is she not the one that's selfish? Why else does she want to leave me at a time like this?
Well, the way it is with her, Mannion, she feels that God has called her, and that's not easy pretending that she doesn't hear.
Well, maybe God, that has 1,000,000,000 souls, is more selfish than me, that has but the one. If I have to fight to keep her, I'll do it.
I'll tell you this, then. You won't fight God and win.
Now, you know me for a man that never neglected his duties, as if I'm not a pious man itself. I'd sooner leave God out of this, Father.
It's never safe to leave God out of your reckoning, Mannion, and that's true in this matter more than another. You have the pride of 10 men. But what use would it be to you if you had the pride of Lucifer himself? Do you not realize that this is a case in which you can do nothing?
No, I can't realize that, and I won't admit it. It would be the failure of my whole life.
Failure will then, for this is something you have no power against.
I have then. And if I'm put to it, I'll use it.
I've gone far to help you in this matter, Mannion. But you'll do something that's wrong if you go any further in your efforts to stop
it. I'll go to the farthest limit.
Then I must tell you this. If I thought it my duty to help you this far, I may think it my duty to help her in the future. And bear that in mind now. I'll manage to have my own way in the latter end.
I'll see you as far as the door, Father Marr.
What a really dreadful day this has turned into. Do you know, Nora, I wouldn't be surprised if I hadn't caught a slight chill. I think I'd better have a nip, just in case. Was that Father Maher I saw leaving?
Yes, he came to see me.
Oh?
Father sent for him. I think he hoped he could talk me out of it.
And did he?
No. He did his best, but I'm beyond it, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, it probably would be better if you made up your mind to stay, Nora. You'll probably have to, you know, the difficulties and that.
I haven't underrated the difficulties, Philip.
Yes, but you haven't any money.
Money?
Yes. Well, it's always a consideration, you know. You can't get very far without it. You do realize that you will need money to become a nun, don't you?
I hadn't thought.
After all, they'll have to look after you and feed you and that for the rest of your life. And with a quiet life and that, you'll probably live forever.
I hadn't thought about money. That must sound rather silly.
No, quite understandable. A sign you've never been subjected to economic pressure, like Marie Antoinette. Somebody said, the people have no money, and she said, why don't they get credit? French Revolution.
But surely there must be some order that would take me without money. Some very poor missionary order. I wouldn't mind how hard it was. I'd like it all the more for that.
Yes, it all sounds very alluring and that, but...
It seems so strange to think that want of money would prevent me from becoming a nun.
Well, that's life, of course. It's always an anti-climax and so on. I shouldn't worry, though. There are worse things in life than not being able to become a nun.
Not for me.
You probably only think that, you know. I've been remarkably ascetic in my time. And believe me, there's nothing to it. Not enough to eat or drink and so on. Even the bare boards with very little covering seem good after you've slept in the open for a week. Don't mind if I have another.
No.
Now, you may not realize it, but this whole business has shaken me, emotionally speaking. I need something to pull me together.
But money?
Yes. Oh, I know just how you feel. The first time I found myself in London, I was 19. I remember it quite well that it was the first time also I found myself without money. I was standing outside Euston Station and wanted a packet of fags. I put my hand in my pocket and found it was empty. I couldn't believe it. It was like a blow. I just couldn't believe it, couldn't grasp it. Oh, I've met people who'll tell you they don't attach any importance to money, but I never met anyone who really believed it.
Ellen? God bless you, ma'am. What are you doing out of your bed? You're not half dressed. You'll catch your death.
Oh, never mind, Ellen. My father's not about, is he?
He's gone out for the last 2 hours, and he was in very poor fettle. So you'd be as well to keep out of his way if you weren't to get the rough edge of his tongue.
And Nora hasn't come back, has she?
She has not, ma'am.
It's Dublin she's gone to.
Well, she wasn't forgiven away very much. All I could get out of her was that she was going as far as Dublin. She'd never run off permanent, would she, ma'am?
I've no idea.
I hope she hasn't anywhere. I'll be in for a nice time with the boss. He late me without salt for not telling him she was going. But she, what could I do when she warned me not to?
He didn't inquire as to where she was, I suppose.
He did not, ma'am. He seemed to be greatly took up with some business or other. But he asked me where you were, all right.
What did you say?
Well, I told him as how you'd got held up on account of Mr. Philip and you'd missed the evening train and...
What did he say?
He said that you were to get your heels out of this as fast as you could.
Oh,
very bad humor he was in, ma'am. You look very well this morning, ma'am.
Well, I'm dying.
You're never serious, ma'am. Hey, you look all right, mind you.
What have looks got to do with it? I feel terrible, terrible. I'm going to be ill, very ill.
Maybe you shouldn't be out of bed at all, ma'am.
No, I shouldn't. But I had to come down. That telegram I sent yesterday, I haven't received any reply to it. Are you sure Cairn sent it?
Well, I gave it to him, ma'am, and he went off with it. But I never seen him for the rest of the day after that.
Very strange. Surely he'd never have forgotten to send it.
I wouldn't imagine it, ma'am. He's a terrible old idiot, but he's no fool at the same time. I find out for certain, ma'am.
Do, Millie, do. It's most important, most important. Well, I'm going back to bed now. If anyone should ask, say that I'm ill, dangerously ill.
Will I send for the doctor, ma'am?
Oh, yes, do. And bring me up some breakfast before he comes. I feel terribly feverish.
Well, if it's feverish, yeah, ma'am, you won't want to eat. Feed a cold and starve a fever is the rule.
Well, a cold is what I have, of course. A feverish cold or a coldish fever, I'm not sure which.
I sent for Dr. McGrath.
No.
Not him. The other man will be best. Dr. Gordon.
Sure, he's hopeless, ma'am. He wouldn't know the difference between tuberculosis and ingrown toenails. Sure, no one ever sends for him.
Nevertheless, I would prefer him. Now I'm going back to bed. Don't tell anyone I've been down. And send me up a good breakfast, won't you?
Yes, ma'am. And the doctor after it. There you are. Listen here to me. Did you leave that message to the post office yesterday?
Message?
Aye, message. Don't be letting on to be thick. It doesn't suit you.
Well, no, I do have a lot of things on my mind from time to time. I can't be remembering penny messages.
Shilling messages, if you don't mind.
Eh? Yes, I remembered the one you mean.
Where did you send it?
No. No, then I didn't. I give it back to the sender. Aye, the sender.
To Mrs. Hogan?
No, to Mr. Philip.
To Mr. Oh, my God!
A very decent man, let me tell you. Oh, very decent. I hear he was crooked drunk last night.
And why wouldn't he be crooked drunk and he after drinking the proceeds of my month's money that he stole from Mrs. Hogan?
How could he steal your wages from Mrs. Hogan? That's a very idiotic statement. Very idiotic.
You old fool, you and your idiotic. Why did you give it to him?
Why wouldn't you give it to him and his name signed to it?
I'll never see a penny piece of it back. Why didn't I go to the post office with it myself? Why did I lend it at all? Oh, wait till she hears this. It's not one doctor she'll want, but two of them.
Oh, there's twisting going on somewhere. Twisting. Sure isn't the world full of twisters. Full up with them.
Ah, there you are, Father. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
You are.
It's just that I wanted to say how very much I regret Veronica's disgraceful outburst yesterday. Very much. However, if you leave the matter in my hands, I promise you that she will leave on the evening train.
Do, and make sure you're on it yourself.
Father, I appeal to you as man to man and that. To absolutely turn me adrift, as it were, and to cast me out would be a grave error, a very grave mistake.
To allow you to stay here would be an even greater mistake.
No, believe me, it would not. My wholehearted services from this time forward shall be devoted to, and in fact absolutely devoted.
No, I've warned you to be out of here by this evening, that's all.
Very well. My last appeal has been summarily, and even summarily dismissed. I have done my best, and I leave without malice. And even without malice.
So long as you leave, I don't mind which way you do it.
It's unfair, I may say. I must protest, really, that it is unfair, bitterly unfair. But, of course, I must bow and that. The fare to London will be £3.49, first class.
So you travel first class, do you?
Oh, yes, invariably. My own fare and Veronica's would amount to £3.49, 6.96, 7.10, and let us say for expenses, £10 will cover the lot, roughly speaking.
Very roughly speaking. But speaking a little more gently and a little more accurately, it will cost £6.09 first class.
Yes, £6.09. Very good. Well, we must hurry to catch the train. Obey your wishes. If you let me have the £6.09 notes, if possible, I can be getting along and getting along.
Do you think I'm a fool?
No, indeed, but...
Now, what did you do the last time I gave you money to go to London?
Well, I suppose I went to London.
You suppose wrong. You went as far as the corner house and got drunk. You were sleeping it off for 2 days after.
Oh, well, regrettable, most regrettable. Discreditable, really. Yes, I admit it. But, of course, I have reformed.
You'll give this note to the booking clerk at the station, and he'll supply you with 2 tickets. You can draw your allowance in London tomorrow.
Oh, really, this is humiliating, Father. Definitely humiliating. The booking clerk, Nolan, he'll think that... I mean, it really looks as if you didn't trust me, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, well, sorry to go this way into... Well, I hope to be of service in the altered conditions. Your decision, of course,
Not mine. No, indeed. I regret deeply and deeply regret. Well, goodbye, Father. Oh, well, goodbye.
Ellen, have you seen Miss Nora this morning? What are you doing with that tray?
I'm taking it up to Mrs. Hogan, so it is her breakfast.
Breakfast? Now, what time of day is it for breakfast? From the look of that tray, she's having everything but supper.
She's not feeling well, sir.
Well, what's the matter with her?
I don't rightly know, sir.
Does she look ill?
Well, she has a class of a wild look in her eye, and she was talking very queer. And she said if she wasn't actually ill at the moment, she had a feeling on her that she was going to be ill in a minute.
After she's eaten that breakfast, I suppose. Well, if she wants something to eat, let her come down for it.
Now, how'd she manage that, sir? Sure, she's not fit to come down if she's ill.
She won't be fit to eat that breakfast if she's ill. Tell her she may stay in bed until the hunger drives her out of it. And do as I say now. By the way, what's that case of liquor doing here?
You ordered it this morning, sir.
I should have had more sense. Send word over to the shop that liquor is only to be supplied to the house on my personal order.
I will, sir.
Ellen, have you... Oh, dear, yes, sir. I was on my way to find you. The postmistress is after giving me this telegram and I...
Here, give it here to me. Hey, this isn't for me, it's for my daughter.
Oh, sir, she was...
Yes. What do you know about this?
I think, sir, she was waiting on an answer to her telegram.
What telegram?
She gave me a telegram yesterday to send, and I gave it to this fella here. It was addressed to her husband in London with £3 of my money along with it.
But how could it be an answer to that? Sure, didn't I give it back to Mr. Phillips?
What was in it?
It was asking her husband to come over here, sir. But sure, I smelled a rat on the minute. Give that telegram back to me, I said, when the postmistress had read it out. How do I know, I said, does my boss want this sent at all? What would he want bringing that blind beggar Hogan over from Fleecy Street?
That's enough, do you hear? Why didn't you bring it straight to me?
Sure, isn't that the very thing I was doing, sir? Only for having the misfortune to meet Mr. Phillips.
Go upstairs and tell my daughter there's a telegram for her. That'll bring her down all right.
Would I not bring it up to her, sir?
Do as I tell you.
Yes, sir.
I'll be in the sitting room.
Cruel, Father. You drag me from my bed with no more compunction than if I were a sick dog.
Here's your telegram.
Oh, you'll be sorry for this. You'll deeply regret it.
I don't think so.
But this is not from my Jack. It's from Nora.
Who?
It's from Dublin.
Nora isn't in Dublin.
She is.
When did she go?
Yesterday.
Well, why wasn't I told? Nobody told me.
Now that's it. You have to be told. You never have noticed. You never have missed us. You never wanted us. All you wanted was to be rid of us. It's cruel, cruel.
Don't make a fool of yourself. What did she say in that wire?
Tell Father I'll be back today.
I see. Well, that's all right then. And as for yourself, I have given Philip a note to the station clerk and he will issue you tickets to London.
Oh.
It's now 2:00, which gives you 20 minutes to go to the station. I'll have your luggage sent after you.
You'll turn me out like a beggar.
No. There'll be a cheque for £20 sent to your address in London. But out of here, you're going now.
Sir, Miss Nora has just come back and Father may have along
my
with her.
My pride would not allow me to stay here a moment longer. I leave this house for the last time. I warn you, Father, I shall never return. Never.
I'm very glad to hear it.
Good day, Mrs. Bowman.
Good day, Father. I don't think that...
My daughter, Nora, is she with you, Father?
Yes, Minion. I'd like to have a word with you before you see her.
She'd no right going off and causing me a lot of anxiety.
She seemed to think that you wouldn't notice her absence.
It wasn't until 10 minutes ago that I heard that she'd gone.
In that case, she didn't suffer any very protracted anxiety. Now, this check you gave me, I want your permission to use it for a certain purpose. Will you let me give it to Nora as a dowry, as coming from yourself?
No, I'll be damned if I will.
Maybe. You remember the money's mine to do as I like with.
Not to do this with. Oh, no. Do you think I'm a fool to provide a rope for my own hanging?
Ask yourself that question.
Well, it was for the contrary purpose I gave it.
Now we have it. It was intended as a bribe, as I thought. Now won't it be the price of you, Mannion, if you have provided the rope for your own hanging? Won't it be good enough for you if I turn your bribe into your daughter's dowry?
You wouldn't do it.
What's to stop me from doing it?
The fact that I'm her father, and I won't give my consent.
The hand of God is on your child, Mannion. And you'll not try to put it aside without doing spiritual violence to her, and to yourself as well. Here's the check you gave me. Pass it on to her with your blessing.
By God, I won't.
There it is for you, then. And much good may it do you. You gave it to me for a bad purpose, and I was willing to put it to a good one. But since you're not willing to have it that way, I'll not dirty my hands with it. You reneged your gift, man.
No.
Yes, you're free to put it to any use you like, was what you said to me. Am I free to do that? Will you tell me?
I can't prevent you.
You can, and well you know it. I tell you to your face, Mannion. You've no word.
I'll take that from you, Father Marv, but I wouldn't take it from another.
I'm asking no favor of you. And I repeat what I've said. You've no word.
You're the first that ever said it.
Then you went too late in the day without hearing the truth. I'm sorry, Mannion. But you did me an injustice. Offering me money, knowing at the same time what was in your mind.
If I did, it's my turn to ask your pardon.
Would you never do as I'm asking? You can write another check.
I'm content to have things as they are.
You're a hard man. You've beaten her, and she won't be able to leave you. That's what you think, isn't it?
She'll not go far without money.
She will, then. She'll go the length of Africa. It's not half an hour since she came to me to tell me that one of the African missionary orders have accepted her as a probationer.
My God. My God. Is there no way I can stop her?
Isn't it a strange thing that you don't know the answer to that question even yet?
I do. I suppose that I may only give my consent. What sort of a family was it that I reared at all? Well, no matter. Whatever is needed, I'll pay it. Only let her go into one of the big orders and...
She's waiting outside. I'll call her.
Nora, child, come here. I've been talking to your father here, and I'm glad to tell you he's come round to your way of thinking.
No, I've done nothing of the kind.
All right, so. You've agreed to recognize that everyone can't think alike, and that's just as good. Nora, he's willing to withdraw his opposition and give you his blessing to your venture.
I'll give no blessing. I'll give what money is needed.
Well, coming from you, that's as good as a blessing. You do the paying, and I'll do the blessing. Every man to his trade.
Oh, Father, I'm so glad.
Well, now, let's see. We have to decide what order you're to go in for. Now, if you ask me...
But I've already decided that, Father. I told you that I'd been accepted for the African mission.
But there isn't any need for you to do that now.
Your father's willing to give you a dowry that will enable you to enter the most exclusive order, Nora.
Will you give me a dowry for the most exclusive order, Father?
Yes.
That would be splendid. The African missions need money very badly.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong, Father?
Will you tell her what's wrong, Father Marr?
Nora, why do you suppose that your father gave his consent? It was so that you wouldn't have to take up a life of extreme hardship, for which perhaps you're not suited. The contemplative orders...
But I'm more energetic than contemplative, Father. I never wished to escape out of the world into comfortable serenity. If I'd wanted comfort, I could have had that here.
But because you've always had it, you despise it.
Yes, Father, I suppose that's true. All my life I've listened to talk of money. Money, 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 till I hate the sound of the word. What I want most of all is to go somewhere that I never hear the sound of the word again.
Mr. Mannion, Mr. Hegarty's on the phone. Tell him it's about Murtis, he said, and it's urgent.
What? Oh, yes. Right, I'll come at once. You'll excuse me.
Does he realize at all that you're leaving here today? At once?
At the present time, Father, he doesn't realize anything in the world exists except the importance of buying out some new property. I'm glad, in a way. I hate farewells.
But I don't know what to say. You're the most extraordinary family that ever lived. Well, I can do no more for you now, Nora.
You did a great deal for me, Father. And thank you for your advice.
Nothing at all. I have a feeling that you'll do great things. That I'll be boasting to people that I knew you. Well, goodbye, Nora. And good luck.
I'll come to the door with you, Father.
Yeah, that's all right. Now come on. You'll be all right now.
Of course I'm all right. Who says I'm not all right? Who says so?
Oh, no one's saying a word to you.
Not a word.
Your grand.
All I want is a chance. Never had a chance.
Give me a chance, Pa. I protest. I appeal to our democratic institutions. The right of man and that. Every man has a sacred and invisible and an alien right. Every man must live. I appeal. Philip Harvey Mannion appeals for a solitary chance. Who'll give Philip Harvey Mannion a chance?
Sure, isn't that what we're all looking for, a chance? Sure, the half of us never gets a dog's chance. Not a dog's chance. And if we did it, Sev, we wouldn't know what to do with it.
You're drunk. You don't know what you're talking about. You're drunk.
For the want of it. Oh, opportunity's a fine thing.
That's it. Opportunity. What we need is opportunity and opportunity.
What the hell is this?
Oh, sorry. Oh, quite all right, Father. I can explain everything. I had to assist a very old friend. An obligation, I may say. Excuse me.
How did this happen? How did he come to miss the train?
Oh, he was in time for the train, all right, sir. And he collected his tickets at the office, oh. He collected the tickets, all right.
Well?
And Mrs. Hogan got on the train.
His most unfortunate occurrence. We'll leave tomorrow without fail.
There was about 10 minutes to wait before the train going out. Mr. Philip was on the platform, and he got into chat with a labouring boy that was crossing to London. And when the train was due for leaving, I was expecting Mr. Philip to board it. But he didn't. It went without him.
But how did he get into this state? I give him no money.
Well, that's what I was wanting to tell you. From what I can make out, the labouring boy got his 2 first-class tickets for 30 bob. Himself and his buddy has gone sailing off to London in the best of style and comfort.
I must protest. Unfortunate youth, no resources whatsoever. Very old friend. Had to give him his chance. Every man needs his chance. One single solitary chance? It's not much.
Oh, the trouble with my children is that they're either too good or no good.
Children? The curse of this country. Sure, I'm the very same myself. Educating them up to be useless. Aye, useless. Well, what'll I do with them, sir?
Do with them? What could anyone do with them? Look at him.
I assure you most solemnly. I very much regret him. All I ask is a chance, a solitary chance. My best service shall be devoted, and absolutely devoted.
Do you know what's puzzling me, sir? There's Mrs. Hogan gone sailing off to London, and her with no ticket. You never know, but you'd get arrested by the railway company for offences against the bylaws.
Father! Father!
Good God.
But what could I do, Father? I had no ticket, and they wouldn't allow me to travel. I was ordered to leave the train. It was all terribly humiliating. I didn't want to come back, but...
All right. You're back now, and I suppose you might as well stay back.
Father!
Oh, I give up. Send for your husband, and he can have a job in the garage, and there's a house I can let you have. But by God, he'll work, I'm telling you.
He will, Father, he will.
There's only one thing more I'll ask you to do for me. Get rid of that thing, your brother. Get rid of him out of my house.
One single chance.
Father, I think I can do that. Can I have a bottle of whiskey?
What the devil for?
For Philip.
Oh, he's had too much already.
Oh, no, but he's going to have. I'm going to send him to Dublin by the car, and by the time he wakes up, he'll be on his way to Holyhead. He'll have no money in his pocket, and he won't be able to pay his fare back. He'll have to go to London, whether he likes it or not.
Oh, Joe, I think maybe you're the one I need here, after all.
Oh, yes, Father. Come on, I come with you, and you can get me the whiskey.
Well, the day. Oh, queer goes on. Aye, indeed. I wonder now. Why not?
What was that? Yes, a drink. Good. I'll join you. Can what's this your name is?
Mick, sir.
Oh, yes, of course it is, Mick. Well, Mick, give me a couple of inches.
Right, sir. Hold out your hand. Watch out, so you're spilling
it. Let it spill. Libation to the inexorable gods. Harvey's dead. Nora's gone to the foreign mission. No one left to hold the fort except me. A prisoner in the hands of the Philistines. What are you laughing at?
Nothing, sir. Oh, nothing at all. Oh, no, I was just thinking. You don't have to be Tom Mannion to be born on Tanyard Lane and end up drinking whiskey in Knockderry House. You're very good health, Mr. Philip.
That was The Money Doesn't Matter, written by Louis Dalton and adapted to radio by Dennis Hawthorne. The part of the father, Tom Mannion, was played by Harold Goldblatt, his daughter, Veronica, by Margaret Darcy, his son, Philip, by Louis Ralston, his other son, Harvey, by John Keenan, his daughter, Nora, by Denise McKenna. Mrs. Kinchella was played by Elizabeth Begley, John Murta by John McBride, Father Marr by J.J. Murphy, Michael Harney by Nigel Anthony, and Mick Kennions by J.G. Devlin.